Welcome to our podcast, Small Town Talk. I'm Eric.
I'm Jamie.
And today we are here with Scratch Distillery.
Do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
Kim Carrick, owner, head distiller.
Ryan, her spouse.
Is that your official title?
Co-founder.
And
slash worker.
Yes. Worker bee.
The worker bee.
Do you get stuck with all the low-hanging work?
No way. Kim works real hard. She does everything before anybody else gets a chance to help.
Yeah. So how long have you guys been down here now?
We've been open about 2.5 years, July of 2015. Distilled for a few months before opening the doors.
Yeah. And what got you started? I remember, so we first met, the background between us is we met at Scotch tasting at your guys' house.
Yep.
With some amazing scotches and
paired with food.
Yeah, food. And I remember you brought us out that was like about 4 years ago, I'd say.
Yeah.
And you brought out that
White Lightning
you had made in that class.
Right.
So is that how it all kind of started? Was that, or where did it all start? How did you get into
insanity? Brian and I have always had a passion for gin, back to when we very first dated and actually started with a trade of a crappy beer for a gin and tonic. Good move on his part, 30 years later, 25 years married, and we're still together after the last 4 years, which is, you know, the amazing part.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But over the years, we've brewed beer at home, got really into wine. I think that's where I explored my palate, was just being nerds about having wine clubs, blind tastings. Mm-hmm. That's what led to the Scotch pairing dinner. We used to do all kinds of wine dinners and pair foods with them. And I used to cook a lot. Now I just cook booze. never have time at home, but salad. Really adventurous. But it all kind of came down to a trip to London while we had some friends living in London, and it's a gin-centric country. Made it at a gin-centric trip, including a class at a distillery about botanicals, and I was just fascinated with the ultimate combinations you could come up with your gin. And that led not only to us thinking about the distillery as a business, but we have a custom gin class called Genealogy, where you get to come in and blend your own gin from 32 things that we've distilled separately. But the background was, I have a business background. I've always wanted to have a business where I live in my hometown, and that's Edmonds, and wanted to be able to walk or ride my bike, which the reality is I don't do either of those things because now I never know what my day is going to be and if I have to deliver downtown or down in Seattle or something like that. But
And it's all uphill on the way home.
Yes,
it doesn't make anything as much fun.
Brian's an optometrist and has a practice that we built one up in North Bend, sold that, partnered into a larger practice here in Edmonds in 2002, and I helped with that. Left that after a while and did sales, traveled all over the Northwest. That was fun, but I missed us working together. He and I work really well together, and I always knew I wanted to come up with something that we could do together. Little did I know I'd pick the most complicated industry there is, as far as regulation and you name it, but I love what I do, so it's good. I work a lot. He works a lot. We're a little bit older now than the first time around, so that's the harder part.
Less recovery time.
Yeah, exactly.
Or harder
Less
to recover.
Sleep is a little harder on us.
The gin making class was really almost coincident with starting the distillery. Like, there's some gin making classes in the UK when we were there. There's one that was like, you have a little still and you learn about botanicals and you then put the little amount of ingredients in your little still, and 4 hours later, you've got like a shot glass full of your distillate.
Yeah.
And they try to keep you busy they're like, okay, well, that's cool, but like, how do you do that differently? There's another place that they have kind of the essentials of learning about botanicals and so forth. And then as a group, you have to decide. So you have to be a group that's together. And as a group, you decide, what your blend's going to be.
So you have to vote. You have to.
And then they'll make it later, and you come pick up a bottle.
Okay.
We're like, that's not quite there either.
That's and not Kim, so much fun to have to, like, you know, if you don't like that, right? And everyone else wants it.
Right. It's you want to make your – the idea is, like, you are not going to – our experience in the taste room is that you are not going to love the same things.
Right.
Absolutely.
So – and the gin that's your favorite gin is not going to be mine. And so let's get this uber individualized. And the way Kim came up with was basically she did all this front-end work, which is why we feel pretty confident no other place is going to do it because it's just insane. But
yeah.
She distilled all the different parts that one might have in a gin. And it's infinite, right? So she landed on 32 that she thought were the best.
There could be a thousand, right?
The Baskin Robbins of gin, yeah.
And when we did it at home, I started with probably 100 things and narrowed it down, different species of coriander or juniper, and different, is it just orange peel? Is it dried? Is it the whole fruits?
So a premise that occurs to me that I should say right now is that gin is, many people may not know this, gin is a flavored vodka. It's the original flavored vodka.
Really?
So if somebody asks you, if you like gin and somebody asks you what your favorite vodka is, my favorite vodka is juniper flavored vodka.
Okay.
So gin is...
I did not know
You
that.
Start with a neutral spirit. So we make our own vodka here.
Uh-huh.
And we can talk about that later because not all places do that. It's actually not easy to make your own clear spirit. So we make our own vodka and then a day or two later or... 2 weeks later, if it were not in, we don't need more supply, you make your gin or your flavored vodka with the same process. So you infuse flavor into the vodka.
Huh.
And we can chat about that later, but I just wanted to bring that up because, so if you think about it that way, you're like, okay, so we've got juniper and coriander and orris root flavored vodka, and that's gin.
And that's the only difference is just the flavoring.
It's juniper center.
So the fact that between. I've always said I don't like vodka, but I like gin, I've just been lying to myself, basically.
just like really missing well, fun like, vodka.
You don't like the lack of you like the complicated
flavor
profile.
I liked it. I like mint.
So you could come up with something that was no juniper, but still complicated. And like other people, some people come in with a spouse to the class, and they don't really like gin that much, but they'll put that gin way down in the profile, but they'll still have a more complex flavor profile than just a raspberry flavored vodka.
Yeah.
So
wow, that's fascinating.
I think you are.
So
you
I guess.
Are righteous. but so Kim made a juniper flavored. So if we just say okay, so gin is a flavored vodka in a way. She made a juniper-flavored vodka, and then she distilled a coriander-flavored vodka, and then she distilled an orris root-flavored vodka, and then an angelica root-flavored vodka, and then a mandarin orange-flavored vodka, and then a navel orange-flavored vodka,
wow.
And then a times 32.
Wow.
Cardamom.
That's a lot of work.
It is
pink
a lot of
peppercorn.
Work.
And so she's got all this set up so that it's deconstructed, and then at the end of the class, we're reconstructing in the blend that...
Wow.
Each person.
I mean,
wants.
It's true. It's like a science. I mean, really, right? It's all like...
It's the art meets science, for
yeah.
sure. That's the fun part to me is the art part, the science, you know, more Brian's side.
You compliment each other.
Exactly. That makes sense. Exactly. That makes sense.
The science was helpful at the beginning when you're figuring out why this or...
Yeah.
You know, she calls me theory boy, so sometimes I'm right about these things. But
sometimes you're not right.
Sometimes I'm not right. But really, it you know, distilling is like certain processes. You need a lot of focus and attention to detail, and that's Kim. You need to be a process person. Like, we just do it this way every single time.
You can't
exactly
deviate.
This
you can't
way.
Change something.
Yeah, everything's written down. Every
yeah.
move you make is written down.
And then
locked away in the safe somewhere, right? For...
I'd like to say it's that secure.
It's like that Bush's Baked Beans commercial with the dog holding the secrets.
It's in the back room behind the false wall.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So do you find that when you're making your kind of signature products, you must have to really measure and, like you said, it's a very specific curated recipe.
Yeah, so if we change the volumes, you know, we have to change the ratios of the botanicals, and so our flavored, our true flavored vodkas, our berry, our citrus, our 3T, our pepper, those are all used, processed in the same way as the gin is. So we put that all in a gin basket. So instead of soaking the botanicals in the vodka and getting the flavor that way, I wanted to use what's called a vapor infusion method or a gin basket, because then I can use things like fresh citrus, fresh florals. Literally, some of the florals come right out of the garden that morning. I go to PCC and buy my citrus that morning, so it's as fresh as possible.
So you try to keep everything local?
As hyper-local as possible. So all of our grains come from Skagit Valley, just an hour north of here, for our wheat is the basis, soft white winter wheat from organic, from Fairhaven Organic. And they, you know, we just wanted to do the farm-to-table kind of thing. So support our local farmers. It's the way we shop. You know, that's the way we eat. And most people think of it for food now, at least in the area. And the West Coast is very farm-to-table, mind-centric, or getting more and more so. But a lot of people don't think about the way they drink and why is it different. We're putting that stuff in us, too. So, you know, just wanted to kind of expand that. But it's a lot harder, like Brian said, chemically, physically, to make vodka from scratch. It's a lot more expensive. And again, we do organic, so it's more expensive for that reason, too. So we could certainly be way less expensive if we bought neutral spirit made by these massive manufacturers and just, you know, just did the infusion level. But that wasn't why I started this.
And truly, from the ground up, it's right. All yours.
Right, yeah. That's and awesome. So it's... You were saying something, Brian? So the infusion method's the same, whether it's 34 pounds of berries from our local LeConner farmer, and we only make it when we can get them all at the same time and from them. So this summer, we didn't have a lot of water. We didn't have berries all at the same time, so we didn't make it this summer.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it kind of just scales through. And the other part of the local that is important to us is the tasting room. We're very different than most distilleries, that we are focused on getting people to our place and sharing our passion, because that's what we love. We love the educational part of it, and we love interacting. We started a spirits club. Just, you know, most people aren't familiar with the wine club, but they're not familiar with the spirits club. Same kind of concept. So we have quarterly release parties, and that's the part that we love, is connecting with people. And so I didn't get into this just to be a manufacturer and put something on a shelf in Iowa that I'll never meet that person.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get there someday, but that wasn't my grandiose plan. It was to build a business local to get people to come in.
And it always seems like people are just, anytime you come in here, everyone's having a really good time. Mm-hmm. Everyone's really happy. It's honestly, I kind of feel like it's like Cheers. Like everyone knows mm-hmm. each other, you know.
Or they do by the end of the experience.
Yeah, or by the end of it, everyone knows each other.
Yeah.
And it's just a fun place to come, even, you know, if it's just a tasting room, and to get it, you know, and then buy your bottle, which is always nice too, to stock up on, you know, something you haven't had before. And it's mm-hmm. it's a fun experience to be, I mean, you're basically inside, you know, the distillery, right? Because it's right across the room here.
The glass wall.
the glass
Willy Wonka
wall.
The, you know, we built the space out bright, happy, to be rented for events. And so we'll have, you know, anniversary parties, holiday parties, whatever.
Surprise birthday parties.
Yes. Yeah.
My, for those listening, my husband threw me my surprise birthday here last year.
Yes, last year, last summer.
Yeah,
everyone
that has events here always compliments me after the fact that everybody was interacting more and laughing, and it just is a happy place. So.
You really made it a great atmosphere. I mean, and then with being able to be next to the restaurant and to Bridges and the art, I mean, you have a great space down here for interaction of people coming and going, too. I think that you nailed it with the space.
Yeah, I mean, I was just down here with some friends for dinner a couple weeks ago, and we just popped in after dinner because we were right here.
And became members of the gin club.
Yeah, we joined the gin, or the spirits club,
yeah,
I guess
spirits
I should
club.
Say.
Yeah. That was always fun.
I came home with a box of he's like, what happened?
What is going on here?
I can drink again after baby number two. That's what happened.
Over-enthusiasm post-pregnancy.
I was pretty surprised to see that box come home. But it worked out well, so I enjoyed the party.
We experienced our first quarterly tasting party, and we've made 30 new friends, and can't wait to... We'll miss the next one, but... we are definitely, we had a lot of fun the first tasting party.
Yeah.
We have our whiskey release January 20th, so you're invited as club members to that as well, and you also have whiskey vouchers, your futures. So.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about
and
the whiskey.
And your first quarter also includes a whiskey, so you'll be...
Yeah, you'll get another bottle for that.
That's the cool thing about the club, you know, I feel like... You get, you know, you come, you get to do these tastings, and then you get to go, you know, every quarter with, you know, a little package and a little gift bag, and that's awesome.
So maybe you can explain exactly what the packet, or if you sign up to be part of the club, what it entails for people listening that maybe want to sign up before the whiskey release. And
yeah, I mean, as we were, it kind of goes from what we were talking about having a social component to our business. You know, it turns out that what probably evolved over the last year and a half, we've been making booze for 2.5 years, been open since July 15, but just in the last year and a half probably realized this would be more of a one of our purposes is just connecting, being connected, right? We enjoy that part, and if we didn't have the tasting room as much and we're just making more and more alcohol in the back to spread farther and wider, that would be just slightly less fun to us. Then
you like the social aspect,
yeah, and sharing, educating, and so then the Spirits Club is like just concentrating that to the people that you've already connected with well and really enjoy each other, and right, they're like, yes, I'm going to support you and be a part of this. And what we want out of the club is not just like rounding up our people for our enjoyment and hopefully for theirs too. But, you know, cash flow is a thing in your first couple of years, right? So
yeah,
as you guys know, you give us money up front, which just basically ends up being a gift card for the year.
Yeah.
So $4.99 is what people pay for the year. And they'll end up with $575 worth of booze because we got a discount for club members, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And they'll get three bottles or so every quarter. They can switch something out. It's like, yeah, we got enough of this. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Because it's really just debiting the gift card at the discount.
Yeah.
But then we have the parties where we release and just get a chance to hang out. We have a couple extras, like this one that you say you're going to miss. It's actually just an extra one, so we'll still hopefully have you at the release party and
yeah,
the whiskey thing. So
we'll be out of country.
So, you know, people have access to... uses the space as an event space, basically, for a group of, we've been loose about it, you know, 10 to 20, and that works for the members, works for us. We get access to, if we think they're cool, their friends are probably pretty cool.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Usually.
Birds of a feather.
Yeah. And so anything for that year, 15% off. So whether it's you bring a group in just for, you know, cocktails at the end of the night, and whatever it is, your classes. If you take the genealogy class, then 15% off that. But also special releases, so our experimental things. So we may only make 20 to 60 bottles of X, Y, or Z, and only for club members. So, and that's pretty fun. And some of those things may make it out to the public eventually, like the Akavit.
Yeah, that's a popular one.
So
people I've shared it with.
Yeah, so we're it's our research club.
And so the genealogy, so how does the whole thing start? How many people can do it? How, you know, how often do you do it?
Usually a couple times a month. We'll open up as much as needed. It kind of changes during the seasons. Depends on, you know, actually it gets busier in the winter because it's dark out at 4 and what else are you going to do? And you're not out traveling like you are
besides
in the summer.
Drinking. And
so a good time to do it is in the winter, but we'll open as much as we need to. We'll have generally a couple open classes to sign up individually, so it's usually up to 10 people. And so you can go on our website, either just to scratchdistillery.com or specifically to genealogy.com. We'll take you to that page of our website, and that you can sign up online, or you can always call and do it over the phone. But look for a general class, but that's if you're signing up one person, two persons, three, four, up to 10. But if you put together six people or more, We'll do a custom night or day of the week. We've done one at 10:30 in the morning on a Saturday because somebody had to get on a flight to London. He was here just for less than a day and wanted to do
it. He had been vacationing in Hawaii, was meeting friends here for like a 8-hour period between
the layover.
The layover from, yeah.
So we did a custom morning class and started with scones and gin. And
so you make it all. You make it all and then you get it right away then? So, yeah. I mean, it's not, you don't have to wait the 4 hours. You don't, like you're saying, like for the one you guys did before, you had to, you know, everyone decided on one and then you waited, you know, until you got, so it's just all.
Yeah, so here in this one, it's like, you know, there's a little history lesson that's really meant to just get everybody settled in and have a cocktail with gin. A little history lesson also helps us to describe some different styles of gin and things like what we just said about, you know, that it's actually a botanically infused neutral spirit that we start with and just get some of these concepts flowing. And then we get on the production side and Kim takes over describing all aspects of, you know, making the mash that we then pull the alcohol from. Basically, distillation is controlled evaporation of the alcohol away from X.
Yeah.
And then taking that vodka, then how do we infuse it using something called a gin basket and so on. And then, so then all people are starting to see how you get here. And then we start talking about evaluating gins. You know, there are gins that people like and don't like, and let's start to figure out why, because then you're going to think about that as you're making your best recipe that will coincide with stuff you like that are known. And then the unknown. Kim has, you know, all these different botanicals that you're tasting through in their raw form, which is educational and doesn't always apply. The flavor of chewing on nutmeg is not the same as the nutmeg infusion vodka.
Yeah.
So, and then we taste from all 32, and we do the, you know, use this little dropperette, like when the bartender takes a straw and puts it in your drink to have just a couple drops on his tongue to make sure he did it right.
Yeah.
Right.
We do it that way because we're trying to keep your palate pretty fresh. I mean, it's a lot of things to try and maybe go back and try again.
Yeah, if you try all 32, right, you're going to get blown out pretty quickly.
And Kim says she doesn't want 32 shot glasses for each of the 10 people.
that could end up bad.
Yeah. So, you know, then so we're evaluating, we're just developing, and Kim, myself as well, but, you know, Kim really has this this ability to know how to help you take your raw idea of your balance to make it kind of a little tighter. Yeah. Like somebody says, I absolutely don't want any citrus and I just want all this spice. Well, they're probably not going to like it at the end.
Yeah.
So she'll she'll force them to have some cucumber in there, like maybe 4 or 5% of the overall is cucumber, because that it won't have a lot of flavor actually. And it'll balance out that spice so that you don't just taste a single.
Take that heartburn away a little bit.
Force is a little strong of a word.
Yeah.
Direct.
Is there a little spousal interpretation going on there? Yeah.
And so if someone
makes gentle guidance, I'd like to think.
If someone finds like a blend they like or a mix they like, can they make it again?
Yeah, they just give me a phone call, email, and just say, hey, Kim, I have a party coming up this weekend. Can you mix up a couple bottles? I'll have them ready for you. I just ask that I have a little bit of notice, because then I have to pull out the 32 different things and blend it. So I can't, usually once in a while I can do it on the spot. If you come in, you're going to be hanging out for, you know, 45 minutes.
Blending takes 10 minutes. It's just unpacking and packing.
Yeah,
and
it takes
how many other people are in the room that I'm helping at the same time. So
yeah, if it's a Friday at 6 o'clock,
exactly.
Maybe
it's not going to be the best time.
Exactly.
That's
pretty
cool.
As the holidays, last Christmas, we were a little surprised how many we had requested in December, because everybody's holiday party gifts for my brother, because my recipe was better than his, so I've given him his for his birthday.
Show him up. Here's mine.
His first Christmas gift, whatever. But yeah, so it's just a super social event that people, again, if they don't think they like gin, they can still take it and have a blast, but also make it more floral-centric, citrus-centric, so you don't have to be just a gin fanatic to take the class and really enjoy it. And so overall, it depends on how interactive the group is, but it can be 3 to 4 hours to, you know, go from beginning to end, and everybody walks away pretty
And I feel like that's super unique that you, I feel like you can't go to, I've never heard of any place you could go and call and say, hey, can you make my blend I made? I mean, you know, you can't go to any other distillery and do that. I mean, it's a pretty one-of-a-kind thing. That's pretty unique.
And part of it was just, you know, Kim got this put through. I mean, you have to get a recipe approval and then a label approval for different products that you make. For that may not be true at the national level, at the federal level with beer or with wine, but for spirits, you have to get a recipe approval, and then you have to, after that gets approved, get a label approval. And she thought, you know, there's two huge hurdles to even be able to do this.
Absolutely.
And maybe that, you know, I'm just, it's occurring to me as we're talking, that may be another reason that we don't see this anywhere else. And maybe been a little bit of luck of the draw of that, getting through, being done right in a certain way and getting through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And so you guys have your whiskey coming up here now, too.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys, so when did you start your... the whiskey.
So January 20th will be 2 years. So it'll release 2 years from being put in barrel. So it was, you know.
So when you guys opened, you started on the whiskey, basically.
A little bit, yeah, just a little bit later. And then, you know, seeing it's not our main focus and we have 12 other products that we're trying to keep in production. This batch two didn't happen for about 10 months after that, unfortunately. And I was trying to get a barrel laid down a quarter, but just trying to produce everything else and cash flow again, all that thing in your first couple of years hasn't been as consistent, but we have 4 barrels down now. Hopefully in January we'll do our 5th. So we will run out of that batch one, actually, especially seeing we've sold half of it in futures or club members at least already. So it'll be, you know, the goods and bads of, you know, release it, it's gone. Release it, it's gone.
But,
start seeing on eBay for double the price.
That'd be nice. I'll buy it back.
Scratch whiskey.
First edition.
Yeah.
And with that, I wanted to do something totally different. I didn't want to, again, just try and be another Scotch-style whiskey, bourbon, you know, style, just a plain rye. Not that those aren't all great, but I just wanted to do my own thing. So all of the grains are all organic, all Skagit Valley grains, spelt, millet, wheat, and malted barley. So great suppliers up there. Skagit's doing some amazing thing in grains, and they supply so many of the bakeries in Seattle that are so well known. So it's a totally different blend, and you guys have had a little bit of a
yeah, it was delicious.
Yeah.
Teaser.
I'm excited.
So. Yeah, we're really excited. It's so funny too. You know, before we ever went to that Scotch tasting at your guys' house. She absolutely hated whiskey. She wouldn't drink. I was the only one that drank whiskey or scotch or anything. And now she's the one that she's, like, become the scotch and whiskey connoisseur. And we go out to, like, have, like, a drink after dinner. And she's the one ordering, you know, the scotch off the menu. And I'm like, I'll just take a beer. And she's like, I'll take that 15-year scotch, you know. It's like, it's
we've
pretty,
created a monster.
It's amazing how that happens. So once you kind of open up to it all and learn about it and learn how to drink it right? Not just throwing
some
it
Coke
back.
On top.
Yeah, exactly. And the pairings and the food. And
well, that's probably nice about the class, too, just kind of on that same subject of you're opening your mind to different ideas and flavors instead of browsing a grocery store shelf and deciding what looks good for the weekend or whatever.
Right, based on the label, because you know no more about it. Right?
Exactly. Yeah, how many times does a label catch even not just alcohol, but just in general, like, oh, I like this label better, so I'm going to try this one. Yep. So, you know, you come in for the class or for just even into the tasting room to do a couple tastes, and all of a sudden you just find you like a bunch of different things you didn't know you liked, so... Mm-hmm.
And where can you, so besides if you guys are closed and people are trying to find a bottle, where can they find your products?
So there's a few local QFCs. We're not throughout the whole system yet. There's another layer of whole conversation there. But our local QFC in Edmonds has almost every one of our products. That's the closest for the people that are local if it's off hours. PCC soon in Edmonds, as of hopefully this month, we'll have a few of our products. They rolled it out in Redmond last month.
Say, so when you say that, you mean that they just started carrying spirits.
Yeah, they just started carrying spirits
in Redmond a month ago.
They're carrying only local spirits.
We opposed to just wine and beer.
Yeah, yeah, and now Edmonds will be the second location that they're trying this.
Nice.
And they approached Kim because Edmonds, one of the people at the corporate structure, was from the Edmonds store originally, knows of us, and knew that we were doing local, organic. That's like, how's that not PCC?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So literally, some of the products come from their store, right?
Yeah.
So it can't get any more
reciprocal relationship.
They love the story. You know, we were talking about how we do everything so local, and yet you heard Kim say something about PCC earlier. Well, we can't get Washington-made lemon, Washington-made grapefruit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Washington-made Serrano peppers. So those things we get from PCC because we can just trust the source because they vet them.
Yeah.
And so then they love the fact that, yes, this is the vodka that's made actually in part with
products from our
products.
That's really cool.
So there's a few Total Wines that have a couple of the products locally. Not every location. As far as bars, restaurants, there's quite a few locally that are, you know, our biggest supporters, of course. And then you get into Seattle and things like Lola and Lule are a few of the Ethan Stoll restaurants. But we have a list on our website. Serious Pie.
Yeah.
Tom Douglas. But you can go on our website and we have a taste page and you can just highlight over the map and see each location, whether it's retailer or bar restaurant,
awesome.
And what products they
people
have.
Can.
So,
wherever they're at, they can find you.
Yeah,
and
it comes up on the phone, too. So
if it's 11:30 at night and they're looking for to grab a bottle or a drink, they can find the restaurant to go to or the place to get it.
Yep. And we encourage some of our friends that don't drink alcohol to, you know, when they're at a place and they see that we're not on the bar or on the menu, they ask for us. And then when they don't have Scratch... I said, I'll just have some water then, which is what they were going to do anyway.
Yeah.
Just
give away
That's a
hearts.
Good way to do it. So if you're listening to this and you're at a place that doesn't have Scratch, ask for it and then say you don't want anything else.
It's a tall ask, but, you know, our friends that don't drink, you know, they love it. They have fun with it.
It's a good way, right? It's a good way to get people to do
people
it.
People are like, wow, so this guy's really committed to that brand. I haven't seen that lately.
A lot of people, that's all they want is Scratch. Well, it is bad. I mean, I feel when you try other gins and, you know, I always feel like you're so unique, too. You have so many different unique flavors that you don't see very often. And, I mean, I never drank gin before VK ever came down here. I just didn't enjoy it either. So vodka and gin. And now... I come down here and it seems like that's all I drink is vodka and gin. So, and that's all we have at our house is vodka and gin and wine. But, you know, I think it changes you once you've had good stuff and not just drinking that cheap stuff that you're mixing with,
and
you know.
And you feel a lot better. It does make a difference.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I can remember I felt a little better after the last party.
The tasting party. And what are your guys' hours for the tasting room if people want to come in?
So officially Thursday 4 to 7, Friday 3 to 9, Saturday 1 to 7, Sunday 1 to 6. We do our genealogy classes on Saturday or Sunday evenings, so that's part of closing early for those. Or, again, we rent the space out for events, so those tend to be the more common days. Friday is... Edmund's kind of late night for whatever reason, so that's our later night that we stay open. Often I am here other days of the week, and if I'm here, the doors are open, and everybody's always knows they're welcome to come in and pick up a bottle or do a quick tasting. There's very few things. There's certain types of runs that I can, if I'm here by myself, I can't stop for certain time frames, and people are like, that's okay, I'll hang out here for a minute. But, so we try and make it as welcoming as possible. But the reality is we're self-distributing, so I have to deliver that, you know, six bottles down to Lule and the city, and it takes a little bit of time. So I have to have days where I'm not officially here. But what if, like I said, if I'm here, I'm here. So,
you know, once in a while you'll have somebody that's, you know, I showed up at Wednesday at 11:30 a.m. and you weren't here. What's wrong with you? Like, what do you guys do?
Yeah. Well, like, where are you?
Well, we're delivering. we're producing, but we would have been here that day if we were producing and let you in. And I've got a day job.
Yeah.
And you've got to have your listed hours that you're around. You're around a little more than that. And know that we're not just screwing around.
Right.
Yeah, when we're not here. And that's why Edmunds Way QFC has done so well, I think, because they're the next closest location.
Yeah. Just right up the highway.
And the
then
sign on the door
back
says
down. Be back in 5
sorry,
minutes.
Sorry, we missed you. No, sorry we missed you, but Edmunds
here's some
QFC
local places and yeah restaurants that you can find it.
Yeah.
I saw at QFC, you guys have your own little display shelf. It's not even just mixed in with the other booths. It's like
yeah,
front and center.
They did a reset in, again, on the corporate level, seeing the Kroger-based system, you know, so they have to carry the same thing at all their locations, except for they have a little bit of leeway to each location, do some local things, and that's the complication is getting that at each different location. So that's why we're not far and wide quite yet. But they're great supporters, and they said, here's your space. Come
that's
up with
awesome
a shelf and put everything there.
It's nice to see also, I mean, we kind of touched on this, but just how much the local community is supporting each other. I mean, I think almost every place in Edmonds, it seems, we've gone to has a scratch cocktail, and we were at Scott's for lunch, and they had on the tables a little story about you guys and, you know, where to find you, and that they're, you know, so it's just nice that Edmonds is small town and supportive of each other. And
yep.
When we moved here in 2002, we moved from Hayek, which is one of the ski hills up at Snoqualmie Pass. So This was a culture shock to move to Edmonds from there. And we didn't recognize the uniqueness of this community. We were just moving from a sparsely populated area to suburbia. But that was so wrong. I mean, this is a unique community. Edmonds people act as if they're an isolated town.
That's how, you know, it's so funny because that's why I tell all of the people I'm ever showing houses to, I'm like, well, what do you think about it? I'm like, well, I don't leave my bubble of Edmonds. Like, you know, Edmonds is like, it's like, you don't go past Highway 99. I don't go, you know, to Shoreline. It's like, I like to just stay in Edmonds.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
we could have our own show.
I do everything in Edmonds. I don't go into the city anymore because why? You know, there's great restaurants and places to get drinks, and it's like you can do everything. It's not, you know, we joked about in one of our earlier podcasts that it's Deadmonds, right? It's everyone used to call it Deadmonds back when, you know,
not anymore.
It was the retirement community, and it's changed so much. And it's like an actual nightlife here and a place you can enjoy. And it's quiet, and it, you know,
friendly.
You can park.
Yeah, most of the time you can park, right? Except for Saturdays, but.
And even that, we're so spoiled, it's only 2 blocks from where you were going, right? If you're in the city, you're
yeah.
half a mile from where you wanted to be at the time.
Yeah, you just walk up the hill a little bit to one restaurant and walk down to, you know, yeah. It's all within a 5-minute walk, right?
I'm glad to hear that you don't think it's Deadmonds. So the people that are listening can't recognize easily that there's somewhere between a 10 and 20 year differential between me and these two. And so I just thought it wasn't Deadmonds because I was getting older and I wasn't out as late.
Well, I'm an old man at heart, so that could be my problem too. But no, I think it, you know, and everyone, it's so funny that all of our friends have moved away and they all are trying to move back now. Everyone's trying to get back here into Edmonds, right?
That's cool to
because
hear.
Everyone misses Edmonds and
the community,
the things that you hated as a kid, right? And now you absolutely miss and as you've grown up and you want to
appreciate.
And there's been enhancements that have just made it just a little
exactly
different in a positive way.
Well, just like, you know, this is no longer the antique antique mall that we're in anymore.
Right, no longer a consignment antique store.
We kind of joked on our intro, but are we calling this like the alcohol region?
Alcohol
yeah, all the breweries
and then you guys and you know, mm-hmm. we've joked about, like, if we have friends coming into town, like, you know, you can walk from place to place yeah. and have, you know, a couple breweries and come in here for some liquor cocktails. Tasting and feel like we should name it.
Yes, I would. I would still want to somehow include. I guess it could be just Dayton, couldn't it? Because I want to include Jeff at Salish Sea.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah.
He's done a great job. He's a prominent producer in Edmonds, and I have an idea of doing a producer's day.
Oh like, yeah, you
which is
kind
of fits
that.
With what you're talking about, maybe. And you just need to get a bunch of busy, overwhelmed business owners to all. Agree to take the extra time to do that.
Yeah.
Well, we'll bring that up every time we interview
him. Yeah, he's on our. We've already reached out to him for an interview, so maybe we'll.
It is amazing that you have like three breweries down here now. You know, you have your place here, you have, you know, the bottle shop next door, yeah. and it truly is a completely different town. And people don't even realize it. People have no idea. It's so funny. I talk to so many people just that come to town on Saturday and Sunday, right? And I'm sure you see the same thing of people that have no idea that this ever existed, that you could go 25 minutes north of Seattle and you're in this, like, perfect little town that has that old town feel, but it still has a ton of stuff to do now. And it's
right.
not just, you know, art galleries. Like it. I mean, it still has a lot of art galleries, which aren't bad.
Yeah,
right.
We have a lot of art.
But as I've heard, some people don't even lock their cars at night.
Yeah, those yes. crazy people, you know, that don't lock their cars at night. But maybe I'll lock my house. I have to lock my house. That's one thing.
Pointing fingers. But yeah, I've left my cushions out on the bench, on the scratch bench out there. Come the next morning, dang it. Oh, good thing I'm in Edmonds.
Yeah.
Well, it's like you even have like the little libraries, right? You go along the road and you have the little
libraries.
Small library boxes. And yeah, it's a unique place. Yeah. So,
kind of the best of all worlds, the intimacy and community, but yet it's not so small that everybody knows everybody's business. There's still some anonymity that you can, you know, go somewhere and make it through the grocery store in less than, you know, 2 hours.
I find that harder and harder now, yeah. though. It's so funny. My whole life, you know, my parents have grown up here, and it's like, I remember when we used to go just to get lunch somewhere, and it would be like you couldn't walk through the restaurant without seeing three different people you knew, right? And it would take us 10 minutes to get to our table, and then, you know. And like today, it happened to me and her. We went to lunch at Salt and Iron, and there was an old friend, and you know, that we saw. And it's just as you start to know more and more people, it's hard to get through the town without having to, which can throw a kink in your day, right? Sometimes you're trying to make a delivery, and everyone wants to say hi to you.
Right.
And,
I think that's why we all like living here, right? Is you do run into friends and
yep.
it's fun.
Yeah. Well,
so
thank
where
you.
Can people find you? What was your website again?
So just www.scratchdistillery.com.
And you probably have a Facebook page.
Yep, the Scratch Distillery, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
So go and like them all if you can.
Yeah. At Scratch Gin, I think, on Twitter.
Twitter's at Scratch Gin, yep.
And we have a genealogy.com as well, G-I-N-I-O-L-O-G-Y.
And when's your next genealogy class that someone can sign up for?
The 9th.
December 9th, December 23rd, so those that have family in town.
Good reason.
Bring them in.
Yeah. And then we have some January and beyond. We'll open up more as the kind of months get closer. And like I said, if somebody has six people or more, and, you know, they can just email me at kim@scratchdistillery.com or give us a call at 425-673-7046. And if I'm not there, just leave a message and I'll give you a call back and set it
and
up.
Hopefully by then there'll be a little more heat in here.
Yes. Should we take just a second on that?
Yeah. So we walked. Yeah,
go ahead.
We walked in here today, and it was a little chilly in here, so we're all wearing our jackets. No, so you guys were fired up a bat show yesterday to keep the heat on?
Yeah, came
so
back
on
after
Saturday,
the holiday. Yeah.
On Saturday, something went wrong with the heating, and we had no
something
heat.
Went
always
south.
On a holiday weekend.
So it was 61 degrees. People are a little cold in the tasting room.
That's why at the tasting room, right? It's to warm you up, right?
That's right.
Internally, and then we gave hot water glasses for you to put your hands on.
Somebody had brought up a space heater. I was like, you can't do that in a distillery. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
That's not explosion proof. So, so Kim was going to make a mash, so that requires heating up the water at the beginning of the day, and we don't usually preheat the water a day before, because then you raise the temperature on the water and it drops back down 25 degrees by the next day. It wasn't very efficient, just to save you a half hour or something on heating in the morning. We're like, well, we're doing that today. So we got the temperature up to about 64 by doing that on Saturday, and still kind of cool. A couple of us that were working the tasting room would go back in the boiler room and just kind of hug the boiler a little bit. And
pretend like you're working on something. Yeah, no.
I'll be right out. And then it occurred to Kim, well, I was going to do a gin production run during the week. I'm just going to do that on Sunday. So we came in and we did mash, which will create some heat. And then started the still, which creates a lot of heat. And we were up at 71 degrees. It was nice in here yesterday. Mm-hmm. But then today it's down to 61 again.
Well, luckily it's a day that you're closed. So.
Yes. We'll get it back going soon. Now that it's Monday after the holiday weekend, we'll find some people working.
So. Yeah.
We're going to ask everybody... any weird, funny stories besides heating that you've run into is just living in Edmonds or small business startup? Not to put you on the spot. Quirky asks.
Just the community feel of this place. Just when we were in build out, there's lots of delays for this or that, and one of them was if. People that live locally remember, or locally, it was all up and down the West Coast, but in 2015 we had port closures because of the longshoremen being on strike, remember that. So our still was set up by April of 2015, made it through some of that debacle with a little delay, but then we were informed not all the stuff fit on that container coming from Germany with our custom-made still. All of our mash equipment was on a second container that got held up for about 2.5 extra months.
Oh, wow.
So, of course, us making everything from scratch got a little more complicated then, but we did some fun local partnerships with the brewery across the street. We took some beer from them, distilled that into a couple of unique spirits called the beer schnapps, and it's basically kind of like a brandy made from a beer, and then you age it, and then it's a whiskey made from a beer, which we just sold out of locally, but you can still find at a few Total Wines and a local QFC. You can get the beer brandy version. So it's just fun little things that you come up with that you improvise. And during that time, when we were doing the space build out, the rest of our space got built out while we're waiting for those tanks. Well, then those tanks had literally millimeters to fit through the doorways in this glass wall to get to the other side. So it was going over to the museum was building out at the time. So we'd go over and I'd buy the construction workers a 6-pack of beer and have them help me get things righted and uprighted.
Yeah, we originally thought the mash tank would come and then we'd build out.
Yeah, build everything around that, right?
Oh,
not
man.
So much. So it's that helping each other too, kind of.
Best laid plans, right? They always.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Same thing with the beer. I think that by not naming the person, nobody will get in trouble. But when we were taking loads of beer from American Brewing Company to turn into the beer schnapps, our dock height is 54 inches. That's unusually high for most
delivery trucks.
And so and we don't have, we have a lift in the space, but we don't have any way to get in and out of the building to go down to below the dock. So American Brewing, an employee, would bring over, I think he brought over 6 loads of their beer in those big totes by forklift about a block drive.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah. That's love. That's
time,
love right there.
That is.
Like, once you could say, okay, I'll just chance it once. 6 times.
Yeah. 6 times.
Yeah. Hey. Like, looking both ways.
Exactly.
It worked out, though, right?
It was great.
That would have been a fun sight to see.
Yeah.
Going down.
There may be a few photos in the archives.
They'll make it out someday onto Facebook.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Say just an Edmonton
blurred out faces on it.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can't see anything.
So. Lastly, we do a police blotter of the week. So just kind of the theme of that, this is small town talk. So we're talking small town, and in small towns, crime is comical sometimes. But the theme this last week, which I guess would be a good question, is counterfeit money. So there's like a slew of people reporting counterfeit money, and we kind of were joking, like, who's making this counterfeit money? Like, how have you guys run into that at all?
No, first I've heard of it.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Right
if
here.
I don't know.
Need
if
to invest in the pen for
okay.
marking.
I'm so Pollyanna. I just don't even think of those things, right? So things like our 375s in retail stores, they're like, oh, yeah, we don't like carrying 375s because of the theft issue. And I'm like, oh, that didn't even occur to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I need to be better about paying attention.
See, it's a small town you're not used to having
exactly.
to worry about these things.
In the good and bad of, you know, people using mostly credit card anymore, really, than cash. So we see way more.
Well, and then we were like, what do you think they're doing? You think they're, like, printing it out of their printer? Like, you know.
Anymore, you probably can. That's a scary part.
Yeah.
Washing in their washing machine. They have a little operation
right.
going on.
Yeah. Money
yeah,
laundering.
I think it was, like, 3 or 4 different reports of it last week, so.
So be on the lookout.
All right. Okay.
All right,
anything
well,
else you want to add or include or
anything
promote?
You want to
no, thanks
know?
For giving me the opportunity to just hang out with you another moment.
Yeah. Thanks for letting us come down. You're one of our first major interviews, and we're really excited to come and interview you guys because we really enjoy this place, and I think this is a strong pillar of the Edmonds community down here now, and the drinking community.
Thank you.
Whatever we're going to name this district.
Yeah.
There you go.
We're going to have to come up with a name for this district of
Dayton drinking this zone.
Yes.
3Ds. We'll
think on it.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. I'm Eric.
I'm Jamie.
And this is Small Town Talk. Have a great day. Bye.
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 Always awkward.
Yeah.
I don't know why.